Well, there's a lot of work going on now about children in schools, about meditation with children in schools, and there's a whole emphasis going on the spirituality that's already there in children. Before, it was thought that spirit children had no spirituality and had to be kind of put into them by adults who were developed or something. But now there's a great realization that children have spirituality from a very early stage, and that you can engage in spiritual practice with children, like meditation with children, which is going on now in schools. And I have one of the students I have doing the MA, for example, is intending then to go on and now do a doctorate on this area, because he was a principal in the school, but now wants to work with young children around the whole sphere of spirituality with children, because he realises that if that can happen for children at that stage in their lives, and they can bring that on up with them through life, it's going to make for a qualitatively better society. And I, as an example of my clear awareness, my own experience of spirituality in children, I can relate a story from my own life when I was about 5. When my father would come in from work in those early years, my mother would try and have us in bed before he came in, maybe around 6:30, whatever it would be. We were very small and young at the time. But he would come up always to see how we were and all that, first of all. And I remember this evening, that one particular evening, he said, I suppose he said it every evening, but I remember this particular evening anyway, when he said, have we said our night prayers? And we were my brother, my sister and I. And I said that I've had this bad toothache today and I haven't been able to say my night prayers. No, he could have said, gee, that's not enough of a reason not to be saying night prayers to God. Surely you could get over the toothache and get on with it, or something like that. But he didn't. He said straight away, Michael, God will understand. That's okay, God will understand. And I just had a very deep experience there and then, utterly unexpectedly, but it was deep, very deep, that God is a kind God. His words to me in that situation of my own suffering came to me in such a way that I met a kind God. And I've gone through the rest of my life with that as part of the foundation of who I am, that God is a kind God. And I've been very lucky. And that has influenced so much of my life. For example, when I went out to Chile to work against the Pinochet dictatorship, and General Pinochet considered himself a kind of a staunch Catholic, but he was engaged in slaughter of his own people, exile, military rule, people being exiled and losing their jobs and being tortured and all, and disappeared and what have you. And he thought this was all to be done in the name of Christianity, because he said he was defending his country against communism. I, on the other hand, my experience was but that somebody who, and especially if they thought they could do it in the name of God, who could treat people in this way, this was not the kind God that I knew from my childhood. And I was motivated, in part at least, by that experience from childhood, to confront him about this and to seek to bring in change, because I wanted Chile society to reflect the kindness of God, and that people would be treated in ways that would show that God was a kind God and all that. And so that's an example, really, for me, of how a child can have deep spiritual experience, which can be foundational for the rest of their lives.
I'm struck there that you had that experience. You were very, very young. Mm. You had a chance in later life to reflect on it as well and see the depth of what that might have meant.
That's right.
Whereas often, as T.S. Eliot would say, we have had an experience and we've missed the meaning.
Yeah.
And that for a lot of people, they are having spiritual experiences daily, but there is no language, there's no attention to that.
Exactly.
And there's no way then of, I think you would say, pulling the spiritual capital out of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I that's very true. And sadly, in Ireland at the moment, one of the things that's happening is that because of all the anger and disillusionment with the Catholic Church over paedophilia and the way it was handled, there can be a kind of a turn-off around all aspects of Christianity. And that's very sad, because the Christian tradition has great resources available to it. And I would be concerned that people wouldn't lose out on that, because they're angry and disillusioned over certain things that have happened in our country. But there is a great need. But how do you speak to people in Ireland today in ways that they can hear you, when this is the historical background that they're in and coming from, is difficult. But I think the language of spiritual capital, we have to find a language that they can perhaps relate to without the baggage that it can bring up for people coming about. So the language of spiritual capital, I think people do find it can be a helpful language, because it's more neutral It does name the fact that there is such a thing as spiritual experience and spiritual meaning in life. And to speak about it as a form of capital is to see it as a resource, as a fund that can be there to be drawn from and that can really make a difference. Now, for some, it will take them into the Christian tradition, this form of spirit, this notion of spiritual capital. For some, it will link up with the Christian tradition. I've named how you can read biblical texts in ways that can find great spiritual capital in them, great meaning and value that can be invested in lives and make a real difference to people's lives. But for others, perhaps it won't go in that direction. But I think the most important thing is that we can find a language where people can feel that at least the spiritual nature of their being and their existence is being honoured. And whether it gets named in Christian terms then or not, it seems to me, is not the main thing. But it is important that people at the present time especially don't get so disillusioned as to feel that any relating to life in terms of spirituality is just out the door. And they will often say to me, you know, I can't have these conversations or anything like that with a lot of people out in Irish society at the moment because they just don't want to hear anything like that being talked about. So creating space and place for such conversation and journeying to take place with some like-minded people, as the program does, is proving very important.
And your Spiritual Capital Centre is actually organising a conference this July on the whole issue of mindfulness and spiritual capital and education. Just a brief word about that for listeners.
Well, there will be a public lecture delivered by Rupert Sheldrake on the evening of the 4th of July, and everybody is very welcome. It'll be in Woodlock Hall in All Hallows College. The rest of the conference will be hosted at Dublin City University, and it's about €85 to register, and people can find information about it on either the All Hallows College website or in the DCU website. And the name of the conference, the title of the conference is Changing Boundaries.